But I got good news for us this morning, that God has provided a way, that God has provided an answer to all our problems and all our situations, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And this morning, I want to talk to you today about the answer. The answer. Honey, did you take my glasses this morning? Where's my glasses? Oh, okay. I knew that. You all look so serious, so I gotta break the ice somehow, right? I remember back in high school, one of my favorite courses was math. And I loved it so much that I would study the concepts in this textbook. All the concepts, the math concepts in this textbook, not only once, but twice. Now, this is the actual textbook. Well, it belongs to my wife, but we use the same one. And when the other students in the school had problems with their math, who do you think they came to? They came to Les. Why? Because I studied the concepts, I studied the textbook, and I was able to do every question in that textbook. Every question. This morning, I have another textbook. I have another textbook, which is the Word of God. And the principle is the same. The principle is the same. God gave us His Word that we can study and win our battles. I want to help us this morning to echo the words of the song that you heard, that I know the answer to every question. Every question, I have a solution. Jesus, you're the answer. The late Reverend Billy Graham said, "People from all walks of life are searching to answers or for answers to life's problems. I believe the Bible has the answers to man's deepest problems." One night, a man dreamt that he was walking on the beach with the Lord. And scenes from his life flashed across the sky. But he noticed that there were footprints in the sand. But during the low periods of his life, when he was suffering from anguish, defeat, and problems, he noticed there was just one set of footprints. This troubled this man. So he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, You promised me if I followed You, You are going to be with me all the days of my life. Why is it when I was going through anguish, when I was going through situations, when I was going through problems, You left me all by myself?" Jesus said to the man, "Those times in your life, when you were going through your trying times, your difficult times, that's the time that I carried you." You know, the events in this modern parable, footprints in the sand, is a reminder for us all that the answer to life's problem has not changed. It has not changed. The heavy burdens that we carry every day, they are not for us to bear. For the Bible says that Jesus says, "Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you." So why should I carry these burdens all by myself? You know what we have to do with our burdens? We gotta lay it at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross. And that's what he said. "Cast all your burdens upon me. I'm your answer. I'm your answer. And grace was given to us freely through God, through Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. A very familiar portion of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth. And it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. What was he referring to? He was referring to some trials that was happening in his life. Three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. It belongs to him. You see, everything we need in life is found in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whatever we are faced with today, I want to say, God loves you, and he is at the point of your need. It may not appear like that, but he is at the point of your need. He gave us his grace. And you can interchange the word grace with God's unmerited favor or undeserved favor. Well, you may say, Les, that sounds too simplistic, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happening in my life right now. You don't know. I hear Jesus loves me all the time from a young child. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How can you say that Jesus is the answer if I'm suffering mentally, physically, psychologically? How can you say that Jesus is the answer? And you're right. I don't know what we're going through. The person next to you don't know what you're going through. Your spouse may not know what you're going through. But let me assure you this morning that the one who spoke the earth and life into existence, he knows, and he knows what you're going through. And he is there to help you walk through that trial. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still sinners or we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now look at the truth in that scripture. While we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God sent his son, his only son, for the ungodly. If he did that while we did not know him, while we didn't have a relationship with him, how much more is he willing to do for us now that we have a relationship with him? How much more? Listen, I love my family. I got a wife, the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm glad no one laughed about that, because it's the truth. And I got two great daughters, right? Second row from the side, not looking at her, okay? I will do anything, so that they're happy, they're secure, and they're protected, and they're well taken care of. Anything. I will even say that I will take a bullet for them. Now, I may take a bullet for you, I may, but I would definitely take a bullet for them because we have a relationship. What am I trying to say? When we accept Jesus into our life, when we surrender everything, and I'm talking about everything. You know, when we say Jesus is Lord of our life, then he has to be Lord of every area of our life. If you have a pie chart and you slice the chart into the various aspects of our life, marriage, relationships, social life, work life, everything, we can't say that Jesus is Lord of my life if we carve out the marriage, if we carve out the work life. He has to be Lord of every area of our life. And when he becomes Lord of every area of our life, and we accept him and we have a relationship with him, we enjoy the privileges of this grace that's been given to us. And it's given freely, freely. Now you may say, well, Les, that sounds easy. I am not saying it's easy. We are going to go through trying times in our life, but it's simple. It is simple, but not easy. God's grace, he will give us his grace and help us to walk through the trying times of our life. You know, Joe mentioned something this morning. I thought he was going to preach my message. I got scared there. The devil will come and recite in our minds saying, you know what? You're not good enough to receive this grace that God has promised you. You're not good enough. You are nothing. You're just not good enough to receive the awesome grace from an awesome God. And you know why? You know why the enemy will whisper those things in our ears? Because he knows that when we accept this grace, faith begins to build in us. And we begin to speak differently. We begin to see things with a different perspective. We begin to see through the eyes of faith. And all things become possible. All things. There was a young girl who grew up in Hawaii. And at the age of 5, she gave her heart to the Lord. Her dream was to become a professional surfer. At the age of 13, October 31st, 2003, something tragic happened. And you know the story. While out in the ocean, on her surfboard, a shark ripped away. And I'm talking about ripped away her left arm. Bleeding profusely, she was taken to the hospital. But she remembered while in the ambulance, the paramedic kept telling her, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. And those words just kept playing in her mind over and over and over again. They said she lost more than 60% of her blood. Now, I know there are some medical professionals in the room today. But according to medical research, if you lose more than 40% of your blood, your organs can stop functioning. You can go into a coma, which precedes death. But that young girl at the age of 13, with her family, knew that there is someone, that there is someone who cares for her. And she trusted God that she will recover. Many said that her recovery will take a very long time and it will not be easy. And you know what her response was to that? And it's one of her favorite quotes. She said, I don't need easy. I just need possible. Because with Christ, all things are possible. 2 months later, January 10, 2004, Bethany Hamilton was back on that surfing board, surfing the mighty waves of the Hawaiian beach. What a story of faith and courage in Jesus. She went on to be a public figure, inspiring millions and millions of people around the world. Satan was defeated, but Jesus was glorified. Jesus was her answer. Another story. A young girl by the name of, young girl, age 11. She had developed two rare conditions, and she quickly lost the ability to speak, to eat, and to move. She had dreams of participating in the Olympic Games. So she spent 4 years, in the hospital, locked in her body, in a coma. But she knew what was going on inside of her. She just couldn't communicate anything with anyone. The doctors told her mom, there is nothing that they can do, that she will remain in this vegetative state for the rest of her life. There is nothing that they can do for her. But her mom was a praying mom. Her mom knew that Jesus was Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth us. And for 4 years, when she visited the hospital, she would pray with her daughter, and she would thank God for the healing of her daughter, and she did not give up. And this young girl will hear the praying. Again, she couldn't communicate, but she in herself would accept the grace that's given to her by Christ Jesus and accept the healing. At the end of the 4 years, she came out of that coma. Came out of that coma. Started to learn to eat, to move, and to speak again. But she had no movement in her legs, so she was confined to a wheelchair. But she said, if God can do this for me, he can do greater things. Greater things. And through courage and faith, she started to train. And she participated in the 2012 Paralympic Games. And she not only won 3 silver medals, but she won gold in the 100 meter freestyle women's swim without the use of her legs. Without the use of her legs. The story doesn't stop there. Remember what she said before. If God can do this, he can do great and mightier things, because Jesus was her answer. Jesus is her answer. She pushed her faith and she said, I am going to compete and I'm going to believe for these legs to come alive. 4 years later, Victoria didn't need her wheelchair anymore. Did not need a wheelchair anymore. Jesus was her answer. Again, the devil was defeated, and Jesus was glorified. Jesus was her answer. And I hope you get the point. And there are many, many, many stories of individuals who have embraced this faith and have conquered the devil. Many, many stories, including my own. But here's something that's worth writing down. Don't take the presence of a storm to indicate the absence of God. I'm going to repeat that. Don't take the presence of a storm to indicate the absence of God. You see, God doesn't orchestrate the bad things that happen in our lives. But even in the midst of the most trying and difficult things that happen, I want to let you know that God is working, and what was meant for evil, God uses for good. For good. God takes your darkest hour and turns it into your brightest hour. Amen. Amen. Because of the grace that's given to us. And if Jesus was the answer for these two young girls, and many, many other individuals, And he's my answer today. He is your answer today. Amen. Church, if we want to confidently say that Jesus is the answer to all our problems, we must not only sing the song, Jesus, you're the center of it all. We must say, Jesus, he has to be, or you have to be, the center of it all. I like how Joyce Myers put it. And she said, Jesus wants to be the center of your life, the center of your conversation, the center of your entertainment, and the center of your relationships. You see, this grace that's given to us, is given to us no matter what situation we are in. It's already ours. It's there for us to take, believers. But sometimes the devil will come and try to rob that truth from us. Well, I'm determined, and I hope you are today, to not allow the devil to steal from you one more day. Do you know we have no excuse as believers for not being victorious? And I say that very, very, very respectfully. Because again, I don't know what everyone is going through. And you may say, well, Les, that's a bit harsh. Pastor Tim is much nicer in his sermons. And I may not be preaching up here again. But I know you'll love me. James 4, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, referring to destroying the reputation of another. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. You covet because you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. And the last part, you do not have because you do not ask God. In other words, if you desire something, just ask. Just ask. That's what he says. Just ask. Why? Because this grace is given to us already. We just need to ask. Don't get jealous if somebody else has a better husband than you, a better wife, a better girlfriend, boyfriend, house, car. Don't get jealous because others have it. Don't get into strife trying to make things happen by yourself. Ask God for it. And if it's right for you, if it's right for you, and it's according to his plan, God will honor your prayer. I tell everyone that God answers all my prayers. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a very bold statement. He answers all my prayers. What I want to say is, it's how he answers my prayers. Amen? How he answers it. But he answers. He answers. Listen, if I didn't ask, I would have missed out on the love of my life. I'm not looking at her because I know she'll blush. Or was it you that asked? I think it was you that asked, right? That you prayed. Was it? Well, we'll take this up at home after. So sometimes we ask for things that's not in God's divine plan. Well, Lord, can you make her love me so I can marry her? But you don't know. That might be a nightmare waiting for you. God knows us. He knows. He sees around that bend. We don't. So if it's not going to happen, trust God that he knows what he's going to do. Amen? You don't have because you don't ask. instead of struggling with stuff and trying to make things happen, ask. And how do we ask? How do we ask? I'm glad you asked me. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Very, very powerful scripture. Very powerful. Verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. How do we ask? Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace. Mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Well, you may say, well, I've made too many mistakes. I can't go to God and ask for anything. I can't accept this grace because I made too many mistakes. No, we are told to come boldly before the throne of grace. And He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. Well, we are to ask boldly. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It's a story of a blind man. And this blind man knew what it meant to ask boldly. And he knew that Jesus was his answer. So he was going to ask boldly. So Jesus and his disciples, they had just been in Jericho, so they were leaving the city. And while they were leaving the city, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus begging at the roadside. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he stepped still and didn't say a word. Is that true? Oh, good. You're following. Good. Everybody's awake. Perfect. As soon as he heard that Jesus was passing by, the Bible says that he shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." A very important truth here to learn. Now remember, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the person who's been performing miracles. The person who'd been healing the sick, raising the dead. This is Jesus. So could you imagine the crowd of people that have been following him? And how many of these people were crying out to Jesus to save me or heal me? Now Bartimaeus could have said, well, Jesus, he's not going to have time for me. I'm just a beggar, a low beggar on the side of the street. You know, I wonder how many times, and I've been there, that we think of ourselves as insignificant, have low self-esteem, that we don't want to bother the creator of the universe, that we don't want to bother the man who died on the cross and shed his blood for us, even though he said to cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Bartimaeus didn't allow the crowds to get in his way. And the Bible says that the people around him told him, "Be quiet." Now, in those days, they may have used other words. In modern words, and this is church, said, "Be quiet. Be quiet." You see, the predicament you are in does not define your destiny. And Bartimaeus, he was in a predicament. But he was determined to get to his destiny. And he knew that Jesus was passing by and that Jesus was his answer. His answer. And when the folks around him told him to be quiet, what did the Bible say? And he shouted even louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And folks, that's what we need to do today when the negative voices are around us telling us that we're no good, that we can't do this, or we can't do that, or we can't get healed, or we can't get this. I want to let you know that Jesus is the answer. And we have to stop listening to those negative comments, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Bartimaeus, he was determined to get his miracle. Now, he could have said, maybe someday I'll get healed. Maybe someday I'll see again. Maybe someday. No. He was determined to let that day be his someday. And I want to echo the same comments to us this morning. Let today be your someday. Let today be your someday. You see, we need to know who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are in Christ, then it'll be difficult for us to walk this Christian life and say, Jesus is the answer, or Jesus is my answer. We need to walk in a relationship with Christ. And the grace has been given, folks. It's been given to us. The late Reverend Billy Graham said, or he told a story of a great man who had a conversation with the devil. So the devil went to this man and said, or listed his sins. The devil listed the sins of this man. And the man said, is that all? And the devil said, oh no, that's just some. I got lots more. And the devil listed them all. Now, what are you going to do? The devil asked the man. Now, said the man, write this beneath them all. The blood of Jesus cleanses all my sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses all my sins. Grace is given to us because the blood of Jesus cleansed all our sin. And it's important for us, church, to accept this forgiveness and this grace if we are to walk in this Christian life. You know, when the devil comes and tells us, Les, you're not this, my response will be, well, devil, I am anointed. Les, you're not this. Well, devil, I am a child of the Most High God. Well, Les, you're definitely not this. Well, devil, guess what? You are under my feet, and you have no authority over me, because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that spoke life into a dead Lazarus, the same power that shut the mouths of lions, the same power that calmed the raging sea, that same power lives in me. And that's the response I have for the devil. We gotta know who we are if we are to walk in this grace. And that's what blind Bartimaeus did. Getting back to the story. And the Bible says that Jesus heard Bartimaeus. Now, could you imagine? Again, thousands of people shouting to Jesus. But Jesus heard this blind beggar. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Something got the attention of Jesus. Something. It was Bartimaeus' faith that got the attention of Jesus. And Jesus commanded his disciples to bring Bartimaeus. So they brought Bartimaeus to Jesus. And Jesus asked, what will you have me to do for you? Now it seems odd. When I was reading this for the first time years ago, I said, wait a minute. This is Jesus. This is the all-powerful Jesus. He knows Bartimaeus is blind. Obviously, he wants his sight back. But you know what? God wants to hear it from us. He wants to hear what's in our heart and what's driving our faith. And Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see again. And that request aligned to what Jesus knew about Bartimaeus and knew his heart, which is very, very important. And the Bible says immediately Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And he received his sight. Who was his answer? Jesus was his answer. And today, our predicament may not be blindness, but whatever it is, the answer is still the same. Jesus is the answer. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has done for others, he will do for us. Let me invite you to stand. His name is more powerful than any sickness. His name is powerful than any disease. His name is powerful than any storms in our lives. His name causes darkness and demons to tremble. There is power in the name of Jesus. And this morning you might be here and you're saying, Les, I want this Jesus. I want to experience this grace. But I'm happy to say that this grace is here for you. Or you might be here and you may say, Les, I'm going through a rough time. I haven't really accepted the grace that God has given to me freely. And I want that grace. And I'm going to ask members of the prayer team to come. And if that's you this morning, I want you to make a bold step and come to the altar and allow us to pray with you. I want you to walk out here with the confidence that yes, Jesus is my answer. He is the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you as you go. And if there's anything you have to remember from this message, anything at all, remember, don't take the presence of a storm to indicate the absence of God in your life. God bless you.